On episode 466 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Alyssa Seiberts and discuss her book, The OMAD Diet, Intermittent Fasting with One Meal a Day to Burn Fat and Lose Weight. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/466.
Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go.
On our Facebook group this weekend, I asked a question that seems to be on most people's mind during this time of the year. Are you thinking about those extra pounds you put on during the holidays? It's okay. It happens to the best of us. But the more important question is this: where are you in the stages of change? The stages of change is a model developed by Drs. Prochaska and DiClemente to describe the mindset necessary to experience change. It includes pre-contemplation. This is where you're not even aware there's a problem. Now, if you've been thinking about it and you're listening to this podcast, you're probably not in this stage. The second stage is contemplation. This is where you're aware that there's a problem, but you don't really know what to do to properly solve it. The third stage is preparation. This is where you're developing a plan of action. And this is where I find a lot of people get stuck. The fourth stage is action. And this is where you're actually getting things done. And then the fifth stage is maintenance. And this is where you've succeeded in solving the problem, but you may even be considering if there's another problem you need to solve, if you need to push further or you need to stay in this area. So of these five stages, it's my experience that most people spend almost all of their time in the contemplation and preparation stages. If this is true for you, I want to chat with you. I'm in the process of launching my most ambitious weight loss program ever. I'd like to see if you're a candidate for my beta group at a significant discount. Email me, alan@40plusfitnesspodcast, and we can get together and decide if you're a good candidate for this new program I'm launching. So if you find yourself contemplating and preparing but not really getting things done, go ahead and email me, alan@40plusfitnesspodcast.com. Raz. How you doing?
Great, Ellen. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. We're pre-recording these intros and outro thing conversations now because we want to take a break at the end of the year. And so actually while I'm recording this, I'm in a town in Panama called Boquete. It's in the mountains. So it's moderate temperatures. A lot of expats people that want to come down here and live, they like this region because it's really cool and comfortable and it doesn't get too hot. And you're about an hour or 2 hours, about 2 hours away from beaches if you want to go see some Pacific beaches. So a lot of people like living here. And so we've been talking to a lot of expats and they call themselves expats. We're immigrants, but I won't let that definitional term really bother me too much. But so we've been spending some time here. We went to a coffee farm yesterday and went through the whole process of how they make coffee from start to finish, to picking beans, to all the way to grinding them, when you're done, Jeez. Toasting them and all. So it's pretty cool.
So are you a coffee drinker?
Oh, I am.
Yeah. Nice. How's it taste?
As soon as we get off this call, I'm going to go back to the dining table because we're recording this around breakfast time. Tammy's having her breakfast right now. I'm going to go get some more coffee because it's nice. Wonderful around here.
Oh, that sounds so wonderful. I'm a big coffee drinker too. I love trying all different types of coffees and that would be really neat to see it all in action like you just did.
Yeah, I bought a pound of this, what they call double roasted. Mm. Which is basically where they see when you roast it, I guess it's similar like making popcorn, I guess is the analogy she uses. It pops the beans as you're roasting them, beans pop. And so what you want to do to get to a medium roast is literally just get to the point where all the beans have popped once. And that's the kind of, I like the medium roast. And so what you can do, I guess, is you go to a point right before they crack and then you let them cool off. And then you go and roast them again. So that's a double roast to get to that medium. And so I'm interested to get back and grind some of that up and try that tomorrow. Next week. But I bought that. She said, after you have this, you won't like any other coffee again. So
that's so awesome.
She's like, you'll be calling me asking me to ship this stuff to you.
Wonderful. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. So it's good. Tammy's recovering from her surgery. So everything's good on this side. And we'll spend about another 4 or 5 days here. In fact, as we're recording this, Tammy goes back to see her doctor for her follow-up and have her stitches removed. So awesome. She's on the mend, and then we're going to get back to Bocas and, I guess, try to open up a bed and breakfast and a gym. So
that's exciting. Wonderful. For sure. Sounds like great plans for the next year.
How are you doing?
Good, good. Getting ready for winter up here. We haven't seen any substantial snow quite yet, but I know it's coming. So just getting out my yak tracks and my studs for my shoes and all my winter gear. It's going to be fun. Yep.
I'll be walking the beaches in Bocas about the time you're running with your studs through ice and snow.
Mm-hmm, okay. That's right.
Okay. I guess each person has to have their own and love what they have. And
gotta love it.
Well, bless you. Bless your little heart.
Thanks. I need it.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because the podcast now has been going on for over 5 years, and I've never covered one aspect of dieting that's called the OMAD diet, which is basically a form of intermittent fasting. I would call it intermittent fasting 2.0. It's a little bit more extreme than just standard intermittent fasting with one meal per day. And so let's go ahead and start this conversation with Alyssa. Our guest today is a freelance journalist and copywriter with an expertise in health, nutrition, fitness, and food. She is a frequent contributor to Woman's World and First for Women, the top two retail magazines in the U.S., and is the food editor at Closer Weekly. She has written for AllRecipes.com, Whole Foods Magazine, and various global wellness brands. She is a certified Zumba instructor and enjoys hiking, snowboarding, and trying new recipes. With no further ado, here is Alyssa Zybert. Alyssa, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, you know, it's weird. I've had this podcast for 5 years, over 5 years now, and I've talked about every kind of topic I thought I could talk about. And then I realized, oh, here's a book on OMAD. And I'm like, I've never covered a book on OMAD. Wow. It's called The OMAD Diet, Intermittent Fasting with One Meal a Day to Burn Fat and Lose Weight. And just general admission, I do intermittent fasting all the time. I do, I'm in keto most of the time, and intermittent fasting just becomes natural. There have been a few times where I found that I did only eat one meal. It was never a planned, I'm going to go do an OMAD thing. It was I got stuck, you know, one situation, my truck got stuck in my front yard of my property. I was at a off property doing some work, and then my truck got stuck. And when the tow truck came, the tow truck broke. So it was 3 more hours for the tow truck to fix and get me out. And so I ate, you know, I'd eaten the night before, I skipped breakfast and went out and worked for a few hours. And then here I was now driving home at 6 o'clock, and I'm like, ah, it's been 23 hours since I even ate. I might ought to eat something. So I wasn't, you know, I wasn't hungry. I wasn't starving myself. And then I did have a pretty good meal. So can you take just a minute to talk about what OMAD is? Because I think a lot of people get confused and think it's just a way to really restrict calories or, you know, trick your body. Or can you talk about it?
Certainly. So first of all, I'm honored that I'm the first person you've had on to talk about OMAD. And I think that a lot of people have had similar experiences to you in that the kind of you have to eat 3 meals a day has been so ingrained, and even with some diet programs that have been popular over the last 20 years, it's more like you have to eat 6 times a day or you have to eat every 2 hours or something like this. And people don't realize that eating one meal a day an option and can be a kind of sustainable and nutritious approach when in fact it can be. So kind of the the basic idea behind OMAD, which stands for one meal a day, is just as it sounds, in that it's really you're only sitting down to eat once a day. But for that reason, it kind of gets rid of all of those different possible restrictions on eating if you're kind of like calorie counting or things like that. There are people who approach OMAD as, because I'm only eating once, I can eat whatever I want, which is an approach you can take. And because you are still fasting for 23 hours, you will still get some benefits from that approach. But the approach that I tried to take in the book was to kind of figure out how I could create really balanced, well-rounded meals for the one meal a day that were going to make the fast sustainable so you wouldn't be starving, and also kind of give you a wide array of macro and micronutrients that will like support your health overall.
Yeah, that was one of the critical things that was in there that I thought was really important, is you're not just talking keto, which is why I ended up in that situation where I basically went OMAD without expecting to, and it didn't bother me because I was already really comfortable with ketosis. But you have vegan recipes and you have vegetarian recipes and you have things that are keto friendly. You have really a good mix in there. So it's not just keto is this or keto is that. OMAD is this and OMAD is that. Right. Quite literally, whatever your other approaches or nutritional needs are, you're still meeting those with OMAD.
Yeah, it's incredibly adaptable in a lot of ways. One way is that you can adapt it if you are following keto or if you are on a plant-based or a gluten-free diet. Like, you can do any number of those things, but it's also really adaptable to your lifestyle. So going back to that, like, folks who felt like they needed to eat multiple times a day, that can be incredibly stressful on a person with a busy kind of full life, like trying to fit that in. And then if they don't get their second of six meals in, they think, oh, well, now today is a wash, like I'll have to start again tomorrow. Whereas with OMAD, you only have to find that time to sit down and eat a healthy meal once a day. And that was one of the things that actually surprised me a little as I was working on the book and speaking to people who have done OMAD, was that the fact that it was really easy and kind of didn't put any added stress on their lifestyle was one of the things that they loved most about it.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of benefits. I mean, for me, it's the food freedom of not having to have food everywhere, because I tried some other eating styles before. After keto, I was trying some eating styles, and I was like, okay, so I've got to have a snack of nuts now. I'm going to have a snack of fruit now. Okay, now here's my meal, and now here's this other snack, and here's this other snack, and then a meal, and then another snack. And I was right. Constantly, I had food in my truck. I had food in my office. I had food all around me so that I would always have this available food. And it was difficult. You know, if I'd gotten stuck in the mud and I was eating six meals a day, well, I would have just missed five of them. So what are some of the other benefits besides the time savings and having that freedom? What are some of the other benefits we could see with OMAD?
Sure. So you mentioned ketosis a little bit. That is kind of one of the primary methods through which, if you're doing OMAD, to lose weight, that is definitely going to help. So that is the process where kind of when you're eating on a regular basis and getting, like, putting carbohydrates into your body is first going to use up all of those carbohydrates for energy before it starts using anything else. But when you are on an extended fast, your body will work its way through all of that glucose, all of those carbohydrates, and switch to burning fat. And then the longer you go after that switch occurs, just the more fat you're going to burn. So that's one of the big ones. Another big way that it can help with weight loss is through its effect on hormones. So the first hormone that it has a big effect on is insulin. So kind of, again, going back to eating regularly throughout the day, when you're doing that, your pancreas is constantly producing insulin so that the insulin can then go in and take the sugar out of your bloodstream and bring it to your cells to be used as energy. But if you're constantly putting in carbohydrates, insulin is constantly being produced. And a lot of people get to the point where the pancreas just gets tired of producing insulin and it can't produce anymore. And so that production starts to slow down. And that slowdown is what leads to problems like type 2 diabetes and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which are big contributors to weight gain, especially in America with the number of people that are type 2 diabetics these days. Yeah. But when you're only eating once a day, insulin does not need to constantly be produced. So your pancreas shoots out insulin when you eat. And then when you're not eating, the pancreas is like, oh, I can take a break. It gets to rest and relax and recharge. And then the next time you eat, it's ready to produce the amount of insulin that you need. And then the other hormone that is impacted is HGH, which has a big impact on exercise as well, which I'll mention later. But HGH, human growth hormone, it plays a big role in maintaining lean muscle mass and a steady metabolism. But for a lot of people, the levels of HGH that the body produces is pretty erratic. And it's also one of the hormones that declines significantly with age. But there have been studies that show that extended fasts with things like OMAD can really rapidly increase HGH levels. And so that's kind of maintaining muscle mass, especially as you get older, plays such a key role in not only maintaining a healthy metabolism and a healthy weight, but also like keeping your body strong, your joints strong, protecting against all sorts of different things. And then there are tons of additional studies that have been done on how it can be beneficial for heart health, for brain health, how it helps people who are going through cancer treatment. There's like very new research now into how it affects this process called autophagy, which is like allowing kind of old and debilitated cells in your body to be replaced by newer, younger, healthier cells. And kind of the idea is that the more young, healthy cells you have in your body compared to these old ones that aren't working as well, kind of the better everything is going to run. And the more recent research into fasting is showing that it kind of allows your body to do this cell turnover more quickly. And that is proving to have lots of different benefits as well.
Whenever people ask me who I listen to keep up with what it takes to get and stay fit as we age, to learn new techniques, and to keep motivated, on top of my list is Brock Armstrong, fitness coach and host of the Get Fit Guy podcast. It's part of the Quick and Dirty Tips Network. So in quick, smart episodes, Brock uses step-by-step explanations and scientific evidence to help you move through the world with ease and enjoyment. He covers practical topics like how to train for a 5K, how to walk your way to fitness, and how to make the most of your recovery days. And he'll share tips for applying mindfulness to your workouts, using exercise to sleep better, and creating a top-notch home gym. Whether you want to begin an exercise routine and don't know where to start, or you're looking to shake things up, Brock's tips will help you reach your fitness goals and create a healthy, sustainable lifestyle. Listen to new episodes of the Get Fit Guy every Tuesday. Just search for Get Fit Guy wherever you listen to podcasts. Now, a lot of people, when you say, okay, well, what I want you to do is I want you to have your dinner or have your breakfast, and then I want you to wait 24 hours to eat again. I think a lot of people look at that and say, well, oh my God, my blood sugar is going to drop down to zero and I'm going to be jonesing. How would you recommend that someone go through and basically get to OMAD? Because I think it's a process. I don't really think it's a just, okay, today I'm eating and I'm not going to eat again for 20. Some people can, don't get me wrong. There's people who can, but for a lot of people, it's a little scary to kind of go off that cliff and say, I'm going to do this. What are some recommendations you have on a good general approach to OMAD?
Well, first off, you mentioned like, oh, my blood sugar is going to get too low. Like there are a couple people, like couple kind of groups of people for whom OMAD isn't the best idea. Like if you do have low blood sugar and that's a health concern of yours, then it might not be best. But for the majority of kind of healthy people, if you get the okay from your doctor, it's definitely, it's not going to hurt you to give it a shot. I think as far as a good approach, you can definitely kind of work towards it. So maybe if you're eating three meals a day, switch to just two and see how you feel. And then the other big thing is that, as you just mentioned, it really doesn't matter what time of day you eat your one meal. So when you're just getting started, like mix it up and you can eat for like, you can have your one meal around breakfast. And like, I have a whole chapter in my book of like breakfast style meals. If you are someone who likes to eat earlier in the day, maybe try that for 2 days and then switch to a midday meal, try that for a little bit of time. And so you can really play with it to determine what is best for you, what timing keeps your energy up the best. And then another key part is that you are only eating once a day, but that doesn't mean you can't put anything else in your body during the other 23 hours. So kind of drinking fluids throughout the day can have a huge impact on how full you feel. So that's water, that's black coffee and tea, that's like chicken broth or beef broth, like bone broth, those kinds of things. A lot of the time in general, if you feel like you need a snack or something, if you feel hungry, a lot of the time you might just be thirsty. And so kind of keeping, I know you were talking about earlier, kind of always having a snack of nuts or something on you. I think with OMAD, you always want to have a bottle of water or a mug of something, and to kind of keep you going. And again, to the last thing, which I touched on briefly earlier, is to kind of really think about creating meals that are really well balanced and have a variety of nutrients. So a lot of the in creating the recipes for my book, I put a lot of focus on protein and fiber because these are the ones that are going to give you energy, keep you full throughout the day. Also a lot of vegetables because those are going to increase portion sizes. Vegetables take longer to chew. Like the longer it takes you to eat, the more full and satisfied you're going to feel. I also talked a little bit about mindful eating, which is kind of, I know I'm sure a lot of listeners are familiar with mindfulness or like mindfulness meditation. And so this is kind of applying that idea to cooking and eating. So really kind of being in the present, like smelling the smells, kind of feeling the textures of your food and really kind of being there with your meal and not watching TV or eating while you're driving, because hopefully like you, it's only one meal. You haven't had to carve out a bunch of different times in your day. So hopefully you're able to commit that like 20 to 30 minutes just to enjoying your meal. And that can make a huge difference as well in kind of how satisfied you then feel going into your fast.
Cool. I think it's really important to emphasize, we brought this up at the beginning, is to talk to your doctor. And if you're on any kind of blood sugar lowering meds like metformin, or you're taking insulin or anything like that, recognize that when you change the way you eat, you change the formula of how your body is going to work. And so if you're on those and using those, your dosages are probably going to have to change to adapt to what you're doing now. So as you get into this is not something to just jump into. Have the conversation with your doctor. Be prepared to change your meds as needed, so that you can manage through that. But this is, you know, particularly for diabetes and obesity, this is a hugely popular and good approach to eating well, and keeping your blood sugar and insulin levels stable. So, you know, this is something you really want to look into. One thing I think a lot of people would be surprised with is be like, oh, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm just going to be losing weight. I don't need to exercise. But I'll tell you as a personal trainer, you do need to exercise. So there's a little concern. And I hired a personal trainer. I want to get stronger for Spartan. And so I hired a personal trainer, Coach Dave, and I'd meet him every morning. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't care how early we meet. He says, well, I want you to have time to eat, you know, wake up and eat. And I'm like, no, I don't need to worry about eating before I come to. He's like, yeah, you need those carbs. You need that, you know, that protein and carbs, so you have the energy to make it through a workout. And I'm like, no, Dave, I'll be fine through the workout. But it was only because I knew my body well enough. I'd been training long enough to know that I can exercise without food in my system. Can you talk a little bit about exercising when you're on OMAD, considerations and things to do?
Yeah. So just like you can kind of play around with the timing of your one meal, I definitely recommend playing around with the timing of your workout in relation to your meal. Because like you said, some people do feel comfortable and energized and strong exercising on an empty stomach. And there have been studies that do show like some benefits to that, but other people that might make them feel nauseous or weak or things like that. And so you can definitely kind of see if you want to do your workout before your meal, after your meal. Something else I discuss in the book as the only thing you can kind of quote unquote eat during your fast are fat bombs, which I'm sure you're with because it's kind of comes out of the keto world. So these are like little treats that you make using healthy fats like coconut oil or coconut butter, and then add a little bit of flavoring, like maybe like a drop or two of liquid stevia and some cacao powder, and then you mix it up, you freeze them, and you create kind of really indulgent little snacks of fat that can be kind of an instant hit of energy if you do feel like you need just that little something before or after a workout. But yeah, it's very kind of, it's very personal. And there are certainly benefits to exercising during, while you're fasting, while you're on OMAD. As I mentioned earlier, insulin and HGH, those are really the benefits you get from fasting as they affect those hormones, and the benefits that you get from exercising are really complementary to one another. So like if fasting is kind of keeping your insulin production low and steady, exercise has been shown to improve insulin sensitivity, which means that the body doesn't need as much insulin to begin with to kind of move the glucose out of your bloodstream. So the way that both fasting and exercise impact insulin is like incredibly good for your overall health. And then obviously with HGH as well, if your HGH levels are high there, that's kind of allowing you to build that lean muscle mass that you're trying to build through exercise. And then just as the time of day that you exercise is kind of very personal, so is the form of exercise you choose. I think one of the most important things about exercise is that you have to be doing something that you enjoy. Because if you don't like doing it, then you're not going to stick with it. And then you're going to feel bad about not sticking with it. And then it's just going to be this cycle of not maintaining your healthy habits. And so I think that any form of movement, whether that's walking, running, biking, dancing, strength training, interval training, really anything that you enjoy and that you feel good afterwards, is a good strategy to take while you're also doing OMAD.
Alyssa, I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are three strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
Mm-hmm. So my first one is one that I just started talking about, which is find activities that are good for you that also make you happy. So the biggest way to maintain healthy habits are to find habits that you actually enjoy doing and that you get up every morning wanting to do, excited to do, because that's kind of, you're much more likely to do those things on a regular basis. You're much more likely to keep them in your life for longer. I'm not a huge fan of like doing something that just because you think it's good for you, but you don't feel great afterwards, or you kind of are, the second you finish, you're dreading the next time you have to do it. Because like you said, happiness is such an enormous part of fitness and wellness that I really don't think these things are worth doing unless you enjoy them. And there are so many ways you can impact your health that in a positive way that you're bound to find at least one that that makes you happy while you do it. My second strategy is to be kind to yourself. So life is busy, it's unpredictable. You could have this set plan of like, you're gonna do X workout, you're gonna make X dinner, but then your car breaks down and you have to wait for AAA for 3 hours and then you end up pizza. And really, like, these are things that are not going to derail all of your efforts. They're not things that mean you have to erase any progress you've made so far and kind of go back to start. And so just, I think, kind of giving yourself that leeway to deal with those kinds of twists and turns when they arrive, and really just do what you can when you can and be proud of what you've accomplished is really, really important. And then my last strategy is to just be outside as much as possible. I know personally, I always feel better about life when I'm outside. And whether that can be something as like walking your dog every day, going on hikes on the weekends, or even just kind of sitting outside for a couple of minutes in the morning while you drink your coffee. I feel like the kind of being connected to nature, even if like you live in a city or something like that, just kind of feeling the fresh air or the sun or like seeing grass or trees just has such a kind of calming, stress reducing effect that really can just take you out of your head, even if it's just for a couple minutes, and kind of give you that moment of feeling refreshed and renewed and also empowered to like tackle anything that might come your way.
Thank you. So Alyssa, if someone wanted to learn more about you and the things that you're doing, including your book, The OMAD Diet, where would you like for me to send them?
Sure. So when this goes live, the OMAD Diet will be available for purchase wherever books are sold. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, kind of a lot of different places. So if you search for it there, you should be able to find it. You can also find it and a lot of the other work I do on my website, which is alyssaseiberts.com. That's AlyssaSyberts.com. And there you'll find information and links to the book, as well as to a lot of the other writing and stuff that I do.
All right. Well, you can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/466, and I'll be sure to have the links there. Alyssa, thank you so much for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Welcome back, Raz.
Hey, Ellen. Wow, that was a really, really interesting interview about a whole new way of eating. It's really an interesting concept to just choose one meal per day. There's a lot of things I like about it, but I also have a few questions.
Yeah, it's, I've done it before on accident, only because, like my truck gets stuck in the mud. I think I've told this story on here. My truck gets stuck in the mud. I was gone working on a yard, yard area I owned. I owned some property, worked for the morning pretty hard. And then as I was trying to pull out, my truck got stuck. So I had to call AAA to pull me out of my own property and their truck broke.
Oh,
and
gosh.
So 3 hours later, waiting for a part, getting that fixed. Now, I went fishing because that's why I own the land in the first place. So I'm over there fishing and taking my, I'm fine. I'm not worried about it. But I'm driving back and realizing it's been 24 hours since I had any food whatsoever.
Wow.
Because when I do my fasting, which I do intermittent fasting almost consistently when I'm in full ketosis, because I'm just not hungry that often. And my goal in ketosis, particularly at the very beginning of it, is to reduce some body fat. So I will skip a breakfast. I still eat breakfast foods when I break my fast, maybe lunchtime or later. I'm not going to get stuck in the whole thing of eggs and bacon that have to be in the morning. I'll eat them whenever I want to. I've been to a point where I had one meal a day, but I think a lot of people that get into intermittent fasting and OMAD, they struggle initially because it is not something you just do. You don't just sit there and say, I had dinner last night, I'm going to wait until dinner to eat. If you're not conditioned and ready for it, you're going to see blood sugar spikes and plummets, and it's not going to be a fun experience. And I think the other thing that a lot of people do wrong with OMAD or with any kind of intermittent fasting is they just don't eat enough food.
Mm-hmm.
Food is it's energy, but it's also nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just about calories. When you get into OMAD, you got to make sure you're getting your nutrition in that one meal. So if you're going to try the OMAD diet, you're probably going to have to supplement with some vitamins and minerals because you're probably going to find it hard to get all of that nutrition in one meal, unless you really, really focus on it. Now, Alyssa in her book has laid out some pretty good plans and some an approach to it. So if you're interested in it, I think you do want to do a little bit of research first.
Yeah, that was my biggest question was, how do you pack all of the nutrients you need to have into one meal? Like, how can you get a full day's worth of nutrients into one simple meal?
It's really about nutritional density. Okay, so you're not going to have white bread.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not going to be something you eat.
Right.
White potatoes, you might occasionally have that, but you're going to be really looking for the vegetables that are really high in the vitamins and minerals that you're going to want. You may do salt, and you may have some potassium with your so you're looking at what are foods I can have that are going to give me my potassium, what are the foods that are going to give me my zinc, and then iodine and the whole bit. And that's what I was saying is there's a nutritional density limit there. So you're eating a lot of food. That one meal is a lot of food, but you want to look for the most nutritionally dense foods you can have so that you know that you're getting a balanced diet, because it's still in the end, you need that nutrition. Your body needs that nutrition. Short run, you can go with fewer calories, but that's not sustainable. And if you're just doing this as a diet, meaning a fixed period of time, and then you're going to go back to eating normal, you're going to yo-yo like crazy.
Yeah, it sounds really challenging too. And not to mention that we have so many habits, the morning coffee and an afternoon snack and a dessert after dinner or something, or an evening snack. It's like there's so many habits that are built around our meals that it would be really a big foreign concept just to stick with one meal and not have anything else throughout the day.
Yeah. Well, my thoughts would be, okay, start with a step away approach, you know. So like with intermittent fasting, if I were coaching someone on intermittent fasting, I'd say, okay, look, you had your dinner at 7 o'clock. So from 7 to 7:30, you were eating. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you wake up in the morning and maybe normally you would have your breakfast at 7 o'clock. And so you're saying, okay, that's about a 12-hour gap. So that's a fast. Mm-hmm. We have breakfast. So we break our fast. Mm-hmm. Well, if you can, push your breakfast to 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's one extra hour and you might feel a little hungry. Mm-hmm. That's actually good. it's not a bad thing to feel a little hunger. You're actually not going to starve. And being a little hungry is good because it's, you feel it. You actually now are listening to the leptin ghrelin conversation in your body, which is how we know we've eaten enough food. So you push it off an hour and you see how you feel. And then you get used to that 8 o'clock breakfast time. And then when you're ready, you push it off to 9 o'clock. And it gets easier as you practice this, but the other side of it is you can't be eating a lot of high glycemic index foods for those meals because if you eat a high glycemic breakfast at 8 o'clock, by 10:30, 11 o'clock you're going to be starving again as your blood sugar plummets, and you're going to want that morning snack or second breakfast, as they call it. So you want to avoid that, and the best way to avoid that is eating nutritionally dense foods with the protein and some fat. And I would say, particularly in the morning, moderate or low carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. Most of my breakfasts have no carbohydrates, and because you actually don't need the carbohydrates at all. Your body will turn the protein and fat into energy if it needs to, and if it can, it'll also use body fat. So, if you tend to be towards low carb, it's going to make intermittent fasting much easier. In fact, it might just accidentally happen. You wake up in the morning, it's like, I'm not hungry. I'm going to go ahead and go. And you find at 1 or 2 o'clock, you're like, well, I probably should eat. And I usually do. And that's one of the things when I'm doing my intermittent fasting is I sometimes even force myself to have a meal at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because I know having just one meal at 6 o'clock is going to make it very difficult for me to get enough nutrition in. So I'll say, okay, I'm going to have, a good salad. And so it's going to have a good mix of vegetables in it and a protein source. So maybe I'm going to make a tuna fish salad and I'm going to put that on an actual garden salad. Mm-hmm. And I might sprinkle some bacon on there for just, fairy dust. Sure. and maybe even cut up a little bit of an avocado and say, I'll have the rest of that for dinner. So that's a good solid meal, giving me a good base of nutrition.
Sure.
It's generally light, so it's not going to be overfilling. And I'll have that about 2 o'clock. And then I can have a reasonable good dinner with some, a good protein source and some vegetables to round out my dinner. And if I feel like I'm not getting the nutrition I need, because, maybe I'm saying, okay, I am eating some vegetables that have vitamin C, but I'm not eating a lot of fruit. So maybe I say, I need to go ahead and while I'm doing this, I need to take a vitamin C supplement. Mm-hmm. And so I might supplement with vitamin C. I might supplement with vitamin D. It's really just going to depend on how I feel I'm getting the nutrients I need based on how I'm eating.
Yep. Two meals a day seems a lot more manageable than maybe one meal a day.
In general, I would agree, but there is a lot to be said. The science isn't really there to say yay or nay. At least this is what I've heard going through all these readings and talkings and all that, is that when our body doesn't have to focus on dealing with food, it can do a lot of other things. That energy gets used somewhere else. It was we were going through the coffee plantation I talked about. He was saying, okay, if a plant gets too many berries on it, it can't keep up with all the berries. So some of the berries just die off because the plant said, plant knows I only have a certain amount of energy. I can only ripen so many fruits. Mm-hmm. And then while it's got fruit, it can't grow. So no more leaves. It needs the leaves for more energy. So it's this trade-off balance of with the energy I have, what can I do? Sure. And our bodies are the same way. If we're using our energy or not giving our body enough energy, it turns off functions that we would like to be doing. So
sure.
In thinking about what you eat, how often you eat, you know, those types of decisions that we're making, we're making those energy decisions for our body because we're setting that mold in place. And so, you know, it's the, how much rain or how much sun a plant gets, how rich the soil is, we're creating our own soil. And we're creating our own rain and our own sun. So if we're not drinking enough water, if we're not feeding ourselves right to give ourselves the energy, and if we're not grounding ourselves and doing the good things for our lifestyle, we're not creating an environment that allows our body to flourish.
It's interesting you mentioned, and similarly, I think it gives our brain a little bit of time away, because how much time do we spend all day thinking about our next meal or what we need to do? And every day I get the question from the family, what's for dinner? Even though I'm not the one that cooks it, it's Mike. but you know, we spend a lot of time planning, grocery shopping, what are we going to defrost? What are we going to cook? If cook, that's the attractive thing about one meal a day, is that I only have to answer that question once and only plan it out once. Then I've got all this extra free time. Yeah. I can do other things with my brain.
And I think, you know, as you go into that, you can go even a step further. And if you did some batch cooking, you imagine the leverage you have. If you go through on a Sunday and you cook 4 or 5 big meals, and you have those ready through the week, your whole work week could basically be taken care of, and you wouldn't even have to think about food. Yes. You would just know, okay, on Monday we're having steak, on Tuesday we're having roast, you know, maybe a roast, Saturday, Sunday we're having this this vegan lasagna. And, you know, when you get through your week, you're like, by the time you get to Friday, it's like, wow, you know, I didn't have to actually do any cooking and I can hit the farmer's market tomorrow and do it all again.
I love that. That is a great idea. We need to do more of that.
We do. Support your local farmers. You know,
that's right.
Side. That's why I bought the coffee from this place. And if you find yourself in Boquete, please message me and let me know. And I'll hook you up with these guys. They've got a little, They brought a container down, and in the container with their stuff, you know, when we did we hired someone, and it's their container, but they actually bought a container up in the States and brought it down, and then they turned the container into an apartment.
Oh, wow.
So wow. They rent out this container on a coffee farm.
Oh my gosh.
So if you want good coffee every morning when you wake up, this is the place to stay. But, anyway,
that sounds great.
And you can have coffee. Coffee is not really breaking a fast. There are a couple calories maybe in a coffee, but for the most part, a black coffee is not a violation of OMAD. You're not going to go to OMAD jail for having your coffee.
Good. It's a good thing.
Yeah. All right, Rachel. Well, this is a really good conversation.
It was.
I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. Take care.
Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Dr. Alan Buchanan and discuss his book, Our Moral Fate, Evolution, and the Escape from Tribalism. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.